Hello, everyone. How are you doing? The very weird behavior from Odyssey today. They started redirecting people to some other stream of mine, an old stream. They woke up an old episode. Are we live? I don't know. You guys can let me know. I don't know. I don't think I think we're live, but I'm having difficulty receiving the fresh stream. It seems we are live now. Holy shit. They have to figure out just how fucking we can get a fucking stream started. Like, I've been here for a whole year. More than 75% of the time, the stream doesn't start correctly. No audio. Now they displayed a new thing that was saying, go watch this old video of JF. That's where he's live. How are you doing? I'm so frustrated because I've been listening to the Elon Musk Twitter space, where there was Kim.com and Mario Nawal, and they invited Elon Musk, and I realized how not very intelligent Elon Musk is. He may be intelligent in his engineering domain, but how he has very little understanding of so many issues, including Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. His answer to this was, well, I don't know much about what they've done. It's very complex. And he started saying they should be judged by the people, calling for a kind of populist justice toward them. It's amazing to see someone who's supposed to be very much more intelligent than most people not understand how putting justice in the hands of the people, in the hands of the mob, is not a good idea. And the questioning was very poor. As people were pointing out on the Discord server, they were sucking Elon's dick throughout. And they were rejecting questions that would have been challenging. I hope that this is not the next media. I hope that this is not Web 3.0, where basically we just have people who compete to suck important people's dicks so they get on their Twitter space. We hear Elon Musk talk about banning troll and bots account. My account is still banned, Elon, under the presumption that I'm a bot. I'm a human being. Here I am, Papa JF. Human being. And he was saying that Twitter detects people being bots by the speed at which they tweet. Is it possible that this is what happened? Because I'm banned for being a bot. And he has restored people like Andrew Anglin from the Daily Stormer, who has a bio that says, I'm an anti-Semite and I love Hitler. Now, no, I want Andrew Anglin to be free to speak and everything. I'm not saying ban Andrew Anglin again. But how is it that I'm still banned and that Andrew Anglin isn't banned? I'm not calling for the banning of Andrew Anglin. I'm calling for my own unbanning. And is it possible that what Elon just mentioned on that Twitter space, The speed. Yes, I tweet very fast because when I update my show, I'm like, okay, Twitter, control C, control V, Twitter is done. Gab, let's update Minds, let's update Parler. But I haven't ever controlled two accounts on Twitter. I haven't ever engaged in bot practices. But here he is telling us that, yeah, it's about speed and they detect the latency. Maybe I'm just too fast for this world. Spindly Opinion says maybe it's the sending of links that gets accounts banned. Well, certainly at some point Twitter kind of categorized the Odyssey as being kind of unreliable, and they started putting warnings on the Odyssey link and entropy links. And so it's very easy to end up finding someone being a bot if you have these misconceptions. And it's extremely extremely sad to see this Twitter space where you realize Elon doesn't know very much what he's doing. He doesn't have much answers. He's just trying to release this whole Twitter files, which we'll look at. But it's just a high profile story. The low level story is much darker, and you won't ever see it in the Twitter files. It's the fact that everyone in the chain of command was personally biased, and they were inventing reasons to get at people like me. We've even seen it in the Twitter file. We've seen the kind of situation that could have led to my banning, because they have a list of people, and someone says, we have to ban these accounts. And one of the first employees says, I got this one under this rule. I'm leaving the second one to you. So basically, they were starting with the conclusion, we have to find a reason to ban this account. And then they were like, oh yeah, I got him under this rule. They were looking for reasons. And so, of course, at some point, someone said, we have to ban Papa JF. And some employee said, oh, I got him on being a bot. Because what? Because his latency was like within the 0.001% of all humans. Maybe I'm just a talented human. Truck falls at the 5 freeway, 14 freeway intersection. Look at this. There's already an accident. And a truck is about to plunge, maybe because of the wind. It's quite amazing. Let's have a look. By the way, sorry, I'm my voice is recovering, so I still have a cough drop. Sorry if you're hearing it as I speak. That was quite the fall. Hopefully the driver had the chance to get out. I don't know. I hope so. Yeah, looks like the Terminator scene. And end of the line, Joel says. Perhaps. By the way, CNN is covering the reaction of Trump to the Twitter files. And I'm not sure they are doing the proper interpretation, but their interpretation is Trump calls for the termination of the Constitution in Truth Social post. But the post says, do you throw the presidential election results of 2020 out and declare the rightful winner, or do you have a new election? A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. I don't know if we can say that his word allows for the termination of all rules. I'm not sure that he's calling for the termination of all rules. I think that he may be saying we could terminate some rules, or perhaps he's even saying the fraud itself, by being performed, has been essentially abolishing some elements of the Constitution. So I'm not sure if CNN has the right interpretation of his intended meaning, but perhaps that's what he means. In any case, basically he is pointing to the Twitter files as indicative of a fraud. He sees it from an election-centric perspective. I think it's an error. I think that the censorship is bigger than the election question. And I think that Elon Musk has decided to concentrate on the uncovering this from a Hunter Biden laptop story perspective. I think Twitter censorship is bigger than this, and Elon Musk would have an interest at presenting a broader effect than just playing in the election. Although I understand the mediatic reasons why it's a more sexy story if you can say, oh, well, this was all done for politicians and controlling who controls the country. I'm drinking some Gatorade with the hope of being able to survive through the show. Frog Eyes says, I'm a little bit late, but finally here. JF looking for LFG? Looking for a girl? Looking for Gatorade? LFG. Matt Taibbi, the Twitter files. Very interesting. He published yesterday before the show, but he then completed his publication after the show. So now we have a complete look at what it looks like, the internal communications at Twitter when they were censoring people. Look at this. More to review from the Biden team. The Biden team sent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 status. Thanks all. And someone in the Twitter team says, handled these. Unbelievable. This is a side in an election that is getting their competitors, their Democratic alternatives to be banned from Twitter at the request specifically of what is referred to as the Biden team. Absolutely disgusting. This gives you an idea of how much they were looking for excuses. It was all about, it's not about determining if the Twitter rules were broken. It was about the Biden team wants this person canceled. We have to find a reason to cancel him. Look at this. I grabbed the first one under SI. I guess it's some kind of Twitter policy. I'm deferring to safety on the high profile second one. An additional report from DNC. The Democratic National Committee telling these people to ban real James Wood, who's an actor in Hollywood, who's veered very pro-Trump and anti-vax, I believe, a couple of different right-wing positions. So he's been hated by the Democrats. The Democrat National Committee decides during the election, October 2020, on the build-up toward the election, decides to have this person canceled. Now, real James Wood is promising to Fox News that he will be suing the DNC. It does seem like a political group was controlling Twitter censorship. On top of it, this guy is I grabbed. So the grabbling, Grabblegate, I guess we could call this. When he says I grabbed, it means I got it handled in whatever ways I could. I found the excuse to get this one banned. But this other one is higher profile, so you're gonna have to find a safety reason to ban him. Unbelievable. These people were basically headhunters for free speech. The system wasn't balanced. It was based on contacts because Twitter was and is overwhelmingly staffed by people who are leftist. There were more channels, more ways to complain open to the left. Well, to Democrats than the right. Of course, not surprising. White House spokesman Kelly McEnany was locked out of her account for tweeting about the story of Hunter Biden, prompting a furious letter from Trump campaign staffer Mike Hahn, who seated at least pretend to care for the next 20 days. And people are discussing on the regular chat the fact that Matt Taibbi was the first journalist to get access to these Twitter files because of Elon, but now Elon has Elon has said that he sent tonight to Barry Weiss. So we might get some insight from Barry Weiss on further information. Lendl Guntram says the constitutional provisions were applied improperly and therefore the election should be declared invalid, repeated, or Trump outright reinstated. That is what he likely means, and it makes sense. Perhaps that is. But I don't think that even in that case that he's calling for the end of the Constitution. He would just be implying that the Constitution, under constitutional rule, if fraud has been evidently committed, the outcome is to be questioned as a whole. Callie McEnany has been, this was a letter from Mike Hahn from the Donald Trump team. Callie McEnany has been locked out from her account for simply talking about the New York Post story. All she did was cite the story and first-hand reporting that has been reported by other outlets and is not disputed by the Biden campaign. I need an answer immediately on when, how she will be unlocked. I also don't appreciate how nobody on this team called me regarding the news that you'll be censoring news article. Like I said, at least pretend to care for the next 20 days. So that was a frustrated email following some manipulation of the policies then. And this led Caroline Strom to storm out. She sent this message: "Hi team, are you able to take a closer look here? Thank you." So this little message in response to McEnany being banned. And to, in answer to that message: "Hi Caroline, thanks for reaching out to us. Per checking, the user was bounced by site integrity." Okay, so now we understand what SI mean. Site integrity for violating our hacked materials policy. Adding them here for further insights and guidance. Thanks. All of these little rats are coordinating to have an impact on the election. This is all a private company deciding who speaks, deciding, oh yeah, is this the hacked material policy? When there was no question of hacked material policy in terms of news story, it never happened that it was a problem, that some hack has had to happen for the journalist to report this. There never was a problem for years discussing the Edward Snowden stuff. There never was a problem discussing the WikiLeaks stuff. There was perhaps a TOS on Twitter that you couldn't directly publish the material. But there never was a question that someone talking about this issue from their own voice would fall under that hacked material policy. Yet, Kenny McEnany, whatever is her name, she fell under that new definition during the campaign. New York Post, Hunter Biden laptop article, privileged and confidential. Our teams continue to investigate the origins of the material included in the reporting. Someone at Twitter says, "I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for marking this as unsafe. And I think the best explainability argument for this externally would be that we're waiting to understand if this story is the result of hacked materials. We'll face hard questions on this if we don't have some kind of solid reasoning for marking the link unsafe. Will we also mark similar stories as unsafe?" And so he was asking about the double standard here. They were discussing within Twitter their own double standard. I mean, are we going to start to say everything Edward Snowden ever said is unsafe? Why was Twitter putting the label unsafe? I remember those days. They were putting a totally ridiculous message to any reference to the New York Post story. And even internally, they know it was ridiculous. Night King says, we need a plan to get JF back on Twitter. It's so ridiculous that the spam banning reason still holds after multiple appeals. Yes, it is ridiculous. And it shows that the leftists probably preempted the buying of Twitter by Elon Musk. And those people who got stuck under the, who got grabbed, because I got grabbed, just like they say in their Twitter files, they basically found a separate reason that Elon wouldn't readily care about. Because I've not been suspended for hate speech, for vaccine commentary, Elon is going to look at the spam reason and is going to believe it. But I'm telling Elon, you have to understand that the leftists were banning us under any reason they could find. And they invented this whole accusation that I'm a spammer. I'm not a spammer. I've never spammed. So please tell me what it is that you got, Elon, that makes it so that Andrew Anglin is back on Twitter, but not me. Explain to me how is it that I'm more dangerous than a guy who says in his bio, I'm an anti-Semite and I love Hitler. Not that I think he shouldn't be able to say these things. He's an American. He has a First Amendment right. But how is it that I'm not back on Twitter? End of the line, Joel says, the only way to get JF unbanned is to get a high-profile account to boost his appeal. Which is the problem. It's that we're still stuck in a mob mentality. Elon Musk is not that different from those people who are exposed by the Twitter files. And you could very well, in 5 years from now, we could have a Twitter files on Elon. I hope this day comes. All right. What else did we have? Yoel Rutt, the person who was heading Trust and Safety. The policy basis is hacked materials. Though, as discussed, this is an emerging situation where the facts remain unclear. Given the severe risks here and lessons of 2016, we're erring on the side of including a warning and preventing this content from being amplified. So, Yoel Rutt clearly mentioning that the lessons from 2016. What is this? Well, the lesson of 2016 is that Democrats lose when there is exposition of their wrongdoings by things like WikiLeaks, and Trump wins. So the lesson from 2016, which is Trump wins when we don't censor, leads us to censor this year. That is what he's saying. What is the warning that will come up, says Vijaya Gade. When you click the link, you'll see the generic unsafe URL message, references spam, malware, and violations of the Twitter rules. Not ideal, but it's the only thing we have. This should be a defamation lawsuit. The simple fact that a bunch of journalists were associated with spam, malware, and violations of the Twitter rules when they hadn't. Jan Plunkett says, whatever we do in the communications, this will become a bias claim for Jack pre-hearing immediately. Let's make it clear we're proactively but cautiously interpreting this through the lens of our hacked materials policy and allowing the link with a warning and significant reduction of spread. So again, we are at people trying to find a justification for their already made conclusion, which was this story needs to be de-amplified because we don't want to see a repeat of 2016. Blue Eye says, fortifying elections. Oh yes, they were very busy fortifying. Brendan says, to Jan's point, we can truthfully claim that this, can we truthfully claim that this is part of the policy, i.e., as part of our approach to addressing potentially ACT materials, we are limiting visibility of related stories on Twitter while our investigation is ongoing? Could that be the truth? Can we truthfully claim that? This is fascinating. This turn of phrase, if you see this, you know that you're engaged in something dishonest. Is that true? Maybe it could be true. Maybe we could say it's true. Maybe it's the truth. Maybe we should claim it's the truth. Is it the truth? Holy shit, they were looking at building an explanation for what they were doing. And yeah, you know, maybe that is the truth. Maybe it's the truth of what we're doing. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should use the ACT materials policy as an excuse to de-amplify a breaking story. I support the conclusion that we need more facts to assess whether the materials were ACT. At this stage, however, it is reasonable for us to assume that they may have been and that caution is warranted. There are some facts that indicate that the materials may have been hacked, while there are others indicating that the computer was either abandoned and/or the owner consented to allow the repair shop to access it for at least some purposes. We simply need more information. So you are now in pre-crime territory at Twitter where, oh, we don't yet know for sure that it's ACT, but maybe we should be cautious and de-amplify. Everything was funneling down to we need to de-amplify, no matter what it is, no matter how unethical, no matter how it seems that we need to stretch the truth and stretch the policy to get there. I think it's still reasonable. We must be cautious. Must be cautious. Why? Because we're in an election cycle and you want to win. You want Joe Biden to win. It's generating huge backlash on the Hill regarding speech. Happy to chat if you're up for it. Best, Ro Khanna. So a political agent here, a Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna, reaches out to Vijaya Gadde to gently suggest she hop on the phone to talk about the backlash regarding speech. That's how they refer to this fundamental liberty, the speech issue. There was a speech issue here. People cannot speak and we are in an election. People are getting punished for speech and we are in an election. End of the line, Joel says, did any of these upper management people at Twitter get golden parachutes of large money payouts when they were fired? I don't know about this. It seems that many of them were in line to receive potentially these big payouts. But I've heard also the rumor that Elon Musk wasn't giving some of the payouts. I don't know, we'd have to investigate because I never got to check if the rumor was true. Gadde replies to the speech issue and she's worried about the Bill of Rights. She says, thank you for reaching out and we appreciate the heads up. We put out a clarifying thread of tweets earlier this evening to explain our policy around the posting of private information and linking directly to hacked materials. The press secretary's account was not permanently suspended. We requested that she deletes the tweet. So again, this aspect of the Twitter rules, which is very bizarre in my view. It's compelled speech. They say, oh, we're not truly banning your account, but you have to delete this tweet. That's bizarre. You're asking me to do an action because of your moral standard. You are offended by what I said, and so I have to unsay it. That is a very bizarre aspect of what Twitter requests. It's like we're forcing you to comply or else you are effectively banned. I'd be happy to jump on the phone if helpful. My team in DC are copied here and also available to discuss. So much discussions between a private company and politicians during an election. Rokana to Vijaya Gade. Hope you're well, Vijaya, but this seems a violation of the First Amendment principles. If there is a hack of classified information or other information that could expose a serious war crime, and the NYT was to publish it, I think the NYT should have that right. A journalist should not be held accountable for the illegal actions of the source unless they actively aided the hack. So to restrict the distribution of that material, especially regarding a presidential candidate, seems not in the keeping of the principles of NYT v. Sullivan. I say this as a total Biden partisan and convinced he didn't do anything wrong. But the story now has become more about censorship than relatively innocuous emails, and it's become a bigger deal than it would have been. It also is now leading to serious efforts to curtail Section 230, many of which would have been a mistake. So here we finally get someone to speak out for freedom, and it's a Democrat. And it's a Democrat part of the pro-Biden team. Unbelievable. This is our representation at Twitter, the liberty-loving people. We had to have a Biden team member that says, you know, we're kind of violating people's First Amendment right here. Can we slow down a little bit? Unbelievable. NetChoice lets Twitter know a bloodbath awaits in the upcoming Hill hearings. High-level takeaway, every Republican said this is a tipping point. It's just too much. And both Democrats and the Republicans were angry. So at this point, Twitter is shaking for doing too much censorship to the point where they would bring bad attention from the legislator. When asked just how bad this situation is, one staffer says, it's Tech's Access Hollywood moment, and it has no Hillary to hide behind. Others were more blunt. Tech is screwed, and rightfully so. Turns out these hearings led to nothing. Absolutely nothing. And there is some comment by a Democratic person. I don't know who it was. A Democratic lawmaker. Sabo's letter mentioning the Democratic lawmaker's attitude with the question. The Democrats, meanwhile, complain that the companies are inept. They let conservatives muddy the water and make the Biden campaign look corrupt, even though Biden is innocent. They linked this to Hillary Clinton's email scandal. She did nothing wrong, but because the press wouldn't let the story go, it became a scandal. Far out of proportion. In their mind, social media is doing the same thing. It doesn't moderate enough harmful content, so when it does, like it did yesterday, it becomes a story. If the companies moderated more, conservatives wouldn't even think to use social media for disinformation, misinformation, or otherwise. Well, we know that this was clearly not labels that apply to the to the Hunter Biden story, because it was true. The Democrats were in agreement. Social media needs to moderate more because they're corrupting democracy and making all truth relative. When pushed on how the government might insist on that, consistent with the First Amendment, they demurred. The First Amendment isn't absolute. So that's what the Democratic lawmakers were thinking then. And Matt Taibbi concludes this first release of the Twitter files by saying, an amazing subplot of the Twitter Hunter Biden laptop affair was how much was done without the knowledge of CEO Jack Dorsey and how long it took for the situation to get unfucked. As one ex-employee put it, even after Dorsey jumped in. So Jack Dorsey has been letting go on Twitter. He has let these executives take over, and they made a mess out of Twitter. They made it a tool of censorship for the Democrats. Those are the conclusions of the Twitter files. It got a lot of coverage, of course. Elon Musk releases the Twitter file, how Twitter collaborated with the Biden team to cover up the Hunter laptop story. And also yesterday I was talking about Elon, and I was talking about this picture, and I was saying that, yeah, when he published this picture was to mock the appearance of Elon Musk, who looks like a marine mammal. It's like he's all extremely white and he looks like a beluga. But apparently what I missed, and I didn't know this, but many people have been writing to me and saying this is Ari Emanuel. So you have here the handler of Elon Musk washing him with a little shower tool here, spraying him with water, and apparently this was the important thing in that photo. Well, I've known that photo for many months, but I didn't know this. I didn't know that this guy was Ari Emanuel. I had assumed that the hilarious part here was just how Elon Musk looks. But no, apparently Elon Musk was getting showered by his handler, which... Now I understand better why Ye was insisting on publishing that photo. Well, now Ye has been banned from Twitter. And this is one other thing that was frustrating from the Twitter spaces, where Elon Musk appeared. He says, I had to ban Ye for showing up with a swastika on Twitter. And no one in that Twitter space questioned questioned Elon Musk by talking about the point I brought yesterday, which is this was a swastika that wasn't a Nazi swastika. It was the Raelian swastika, which is meant as a symbol of peace and of the belief of the existence of extraterrestrials. So, it's very frustrating when we see a bunch of hosts who don't know what they're doing, and the audio was terrible. Elon Musk was on Starlink and he was cutting out every minute. And you had the host of this Twitter space unable to ask this basic question: Elon, is it possible that you've banned Ye on false grounds? Because it wasn't a Nazi swastika that he was using on his Twitter. Anyways, it seems that we never get due process, no matter what, no matter the amount of intent that they put in. We just never get to the point of getting justice. That sucks. Greenwald drags MSN journals. Oh yeah, it's fascinating, the reaction of the mainstream journalists to the Twitter files that we just reviewed. Because why is this story important? It's simply government interference in the most sacrosanct right, as far as the government is concerned, with respect to how the government could break that right of citizens, the First Amendment. It's the most important because it's the first. And yet you have journalists pissed at Matt Taibbi. Just read this, and as expected, Twitter's far-left apparatchik simply concocted the whole "maybe Hunter's laptop came via a hack" excuse. Their MO was clear: censor first, backfill an excuse later, pray Biden gets elected, and then hopefully get away with the whole scheme. Ben Collins says, imagine throwing all away to do PR work for the richest person in the world. Humiliating shit. This journalist had access to an important trove of information. Why would he say no to this? What's your argument? Because the trove of information came from Elon Musk, he shouldn't have taken it? What is this critique? What Jahat Ali? Even worse. He says, Matt Taibbi, what sad, disgraceful downfall. I swear, kids, he did good work back in the days. Should be a cautionary tale for everyone selling your soul for the richest white nationalists on earth. Well, he will heat well for the rest of his life, I guess. But is it worth it? What's your suggestion? Not on that he gives up on this opportunity to get a scoop? That he doesn't bring this information that's handed to him to the public? That he hides the Twitter files? That he lets some other journalist get the scoop? What is it that you guys are suggesting? What Jahat Ali was quoted by Viva Frey as saying earlier, good, Russian disinformation meant to harm our democracy shouldn't be given mainstream platforms. So that was his comment back in the days of the Hunter Biden laptop story. So not only was he for hiding the truth then, because it's Russian disinformation, he's now for hiding the truth now about how the censorship came in to hide the truth. So he wants two layers of truth hiding. And on top of it, he calls Elon Musk a white nationalist, which is quite hilarious. Matt Taibbi is very upset that the Biden campaign asked a platform to take down some revenge porn targeting the candidate's son. I'm sure Matt would be totally cool with people tweeting out his adult dick pics. Adult kid's dick is what he says, because they didn't like him and would not ask his buddy Elon to help. The problem here, of course, is that you can ban the publishing of the porn from your platform. Why would you ban the talking about it? This is what happened with the Hunter Biden story. You were banned from talking about it. You were de-amplified if you just said something about it. All right. So I'm going to have to go quick through the rest of the news because, one, I said what I had to say on the Twitter files up to now, and my voice is getting extremely weak, so I cannot talk much more tonight. Somehow the cough is not fully repaired. I have to cough a lot and drink a lot of Gatorade, so we're going to cut the show short. But I had one last news that comes from TMZ. White nationalist Nick Fuentes food fight at an In-N-Out. Hold the ketchup, hold the soda. So, all these years working for optics, Nick finds himself into one of those generic, there's just, I guess we could call them community fights, you know, in these poor fast food places where people are going at it, throwing chairs, throwing food at each other. Somehow Nick Fuentes got himself into an In-N-Out interaction of that kind. Let's have a look.
So they missed.
Well, that is not the right video. Let me refresh the page here. Okay, here it is.
Hey,
So this was all following Nick got attacked with ketchup. So apparently, we don't see on the video, but apparently some people were leftist and they were like, hey, this is Nick Fuentes. And this is in LA. And so Nick Fuentes is hanging out with some streamer friends or artist friends of his in LA. Two people come to him and start saying, hey, this is Nick Fuentes. He cannot eat in an In-N-Out. It's Nick Fuentes. And they start throwing ketchup at him. And his response was eventually to throw a drink or something. I wanted to comment on the physics here of throwing a liquid. You saw how the liquid basically doesn't reach its target. There's basically less than 1% of the material thrown reaches the target. There was a big spray. These innocent bystanders got spread instead of the target, the people who were harassing Nick. So very important in the martial art of In-N-Out fighting, community fights. When you want to throw a liquid that's in a container that is relatively soft, not super solid, the only way you can is by working with gravity. So it's not like throwing a rock where you're trying to launch a projectile straight to your target. You want to work with gravity. You understand that the bottom of the container is what pushes the liquid. And so the only way to do is up. You push the bottom of the container up. And then you let it fall through a soft gravitational fall. So that when it arrives at the target, the liquid is still in the container and then plooch. The thing is, if you rotate the container as you throw, the container starts to rotate, the liquid leaves the container. So the only way you're going to get this is by getting a fully pendular kind of rocket launch type of ballistic trajectory, in which in most of the trajectory, the bottom of your milkshake cup remains at the bottom. See, this is why you can't be a white nationalist commentator and have some basic university education. It's because when you find yourself in this kind of situation in LA, you just don't know how to act properly. Perhaps instead of giving me morals on optics, Nick Fuentes could have done some physics classes. That is it for tonight, Buzz. My voice cannot continue, so I'm going to have to end it. Paper Mario, though, has sent a very generous $85 on Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, we've been hearing about a conflict with Iran for so many years, but realistically, they will ever go through with it? How could they? I certainly wouldn't fight for this evil country. So why bother with the threats and slander? Also, congrats on the new money laundering operation. What the fuck are you accusing me of here, having a laundering operation? Fuck you. I don't. I am a man of legal action in every way. Always. Even when there's no one watching, I always assume that I am acting and speaking publicly. I wouldn't do anything of the kind. Now, on Iran, yes, you're right, the warmongers have been very warm at the idea of a war with Iran, probably because of the opposition between the interest of Israel and Iran. Ultimately, the scare of Israel, how Israel is scared of Iran, obtaining power, obtaining militaristic means, it eventually grabs America and puts America on the toes in terms of starting a war with Iran. I'm having difficulty breathing as I speak, but I just need to answer this super chat before we end the show. So yes, we have to be aware that there will always be a warmongering activity, intelligence operations, there will be collaboration with Israel and mediatic smearing of Iran. But of course, I don't want us to be in a war with Iran. There is no point. That would be at the service of Israel. They have to deal with their own problems. We have to stop serving Middle Eastern interests through American politics. So absolutely, let's be aware that there is this set of interests that want us in a war and that it's not in our interest at all. Much love, everyone. See you all tomorrow, hopefully. By then, my cough should be cured because I've been suffering from throat problems for more than a week now. So it should be gone, I hope. Bye-bye. Thank you.